Let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you for this time we've been able to share. And Lord, we just commit this time coming to you as well as I share. I just pray, Lord, that you would take the words that I share and use them for your glory. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you can see, the topic for today is freedom through forgiveness. And Judy shared a couple of weeks ago that she had prayed for a theme for Word Cafe for the year and that this was what she got. There's a lot of information out there on this topic, and so I feel like I'm just scratching the surface today, but certainly there will be some who come after me who will build on this topic. The Bible itself says a lot about forgiveness. For example, in the Old Testament, just one example is Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brothers. He later forgave them and was reconciled. And he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, to save many lives." Probably the ultimate example of forgiveness in the Bible is that of Jesus himself. As he hung on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." Now, he was no doubt referring to the Romans, the soldiers, Pontius Pilate, but probably also the Jews who had handed him over to the Romans. And Jesus recognized their spiritual blindness and their lack of understanding, and he was able to have compassion on them and say, "Father, forgive them." Despite the agony that he was going through, and despite the gross injustice that had been done to him. Next slide. Oh, sorry, I've got the clicker.
You're in control.
Try one of the other buttons.
There we go. Every Sunday in church, we say the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6. And in the middle of that prayer is a verse on forgiveness. "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." I'm sure you probably all know it by heart. But there's a condition there. And the implication is, if we don't forgive others, then God will not forgive us. Whereas if we do forgive others, then God will forgive us. Now, I want to share this morning a couple of words from the Greek that are translated forgiveness, and I think they help us to understand the meaning of this word forgive. The first word is aphiomi. And this is the more common Greek word for forgive. And it means to let go or to release. And what are we letting go of? Well, the sin, the wrong, the offence that has been done against us. We can be letting go a debt or an obligation. It could be some finances that people do owe us, or it can be something else that they think they owe us, like an apology. And we can also be letting go of resentment that we have against that other person. So certainly when we let go of an offence, we choose not to bring it up again, not to talk about it. We don't let it take over our hearts. A verse there on the screen, 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So when it talks about God forgiving us our sins there, it means he lets them go. He doesn't hold them against us. And in Isaiah and Hebrews 8, it says that God will remember our sins no more. David says in the Psalms, "As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our sins from us." And Micah 7:19 says he casts our sins into the sea. So certainly, God, when he forgives us, he does not hold our sins against us. He lets them go. And I've got a couple of illustrations here to share this point. I'll get Judy to come up. Now, I've got a rope here. No. Judy's going to tie one end around her waist, and I'll tie one end around mine. Now, if I have unforgiveness towards Judy, in some sense, we are bound together. If I move, she has to move with me. It's like my unforgiveness towards her moves with me. But if I choose to forgive her, it's like we both undo that rope. I am free, but she also is free as well. So it's that letting go, that release. That's what forgiveness is. Another example I've heard is it's like carrying a sack of potatoes around with you. Here's my sack. Now, if I have unforgiveness towards somebody, it's like putting a potato in that sack. And each time I choose to not forgive, it's like putting another potato in there. And so on. Now, that backpack can start to get pretty heavy. It's a bit of a burden to carry around. And the thing is about potatoes too. After a while, they start to go off. And they probably start to smell a little bit. And I'm not going to be very nice to be around, am I? And it's the same if we have unforgiveness in our lives. And particularly if we have a lot of anger, bitterness, resentment, and you know, that can be evident in our lives, people aren't going to be want to be around us too much, are they? So what we have to do is to release that unforgiveness, to let it go. Maybe put it at the foot of the cross. And that's much more freeing, okay? So it's a burden, a weight off our shoulders. The next Greek word I want to share about is charizomai. And the important thing here is the root part of that is grace, charis, which means grace. Now, grace is something freely given. It's a gift. It's unearned, undeserved. And so the definition here of charizomai is to give free and unconditional forgiveness. And I've got a couple of verses up there and just want to look at them briefly. The first one, Colossians 2 verse 13 and 14. When you were dead in your sins, and it's talking of course about being spiritually dead, God made you spiritually alive with Christ. He forgave freely and unconditionally all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And Romans tells us that all have sinned and that the wages of sin is death. Now, Christ, of course, paid the penalty for that on the cross. It was expensive for him. But for us, because of that, we are granted forgiveness, free and unconditionally. In other words, we are meant to forgive with no strings attached, no ifs or buts. And certainly that forgiveness that he gives us, we're meant to pass on to others as well. And that's what the next verse shows us. Colossians 3 verse 13. This is part of a section where it says, where it talks about putting off the old way of life and putting on the new self when we come to Christ. And forgiveness is one of those things that we are to put on as believers, to incorporate into our lifestyle. So this says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive freely and unconditionally anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you freely and unconditionally, so you must forgive others freely and unconditionally. And it actually uses the word must there as well. So it's actually in the form of a command. I mean, certainly it's always our choice, but God knows what is best for us. This next slide, this next slide I've taken from a flyer that Freedom Life has produced and that they sometimes give out to clients. Now, I just found out this morning that Gail's going to share about this in a few weeks when she comes, so I'll just do this briefly. And she's got a whole lot of copies that she's photocopied as well to give out. So it's the upward steps in the forgiveness process. So note that it can be a process. Forgiveness can take time, particularly if someone has been extremely hurt. It may not be simple or easy to forgive. Now, the process starts at the bottom, where we might say, I can't forgive. And that's particularly if we're listening to our emotions. But forgiveness is a choice. It doesn't depend on our emotions. It's a choice. It's an act of the will. So if we understand that, then we can move from I can't forgive to I won't forgive. And then the next two there, I will forgive if, for example, if they apologise, if they say sorry, if they change, or I want to forgive, but they don't deserve it, or I don't know how. And then you can move up to the stage, I choose to forgive, but really that's a start. And then you can say, I am forgiving. It's a process, and eventually I have forgiven. So I've got my testimony that I want to share, and maybe you can see some of those steps there. You might not necessarily have all of the steps, but certainly you can see from my testimony that it is all the process in this situation. Now, many years ago, I was in YWAM and I was starting a Bible school in France. Now, the next morning, we were going on an outing. We're having a reading day. We're going to a park and reading through 1 and 2 Kings, so big books, but we get in small circles and read a chapter each around the circle. We're having a picnic lunch. And the evening before, a couple of the students came to me and said, well, what time are we actually leaving? And nobody could seem to remember what time the school leader had said we were leaving. And well, I thought, well, you know, it's either A or B, and I can't even remember what time it was, but let's say either 7 or 8 o'clock. And I looked everywhere around the base for the school leader to ask her, because I knew she was the one that knew what time we were meant to be leaving. And didn't have mobile phones back then. I looked everywhere, I tried my best, I couldn't find her, and the students wanted to know, and so I thought, well, I have to say something. And I said, well, be ready at this earlier time. So I thought it'd be better if they're ready earlier rather than later, because we had a big lot of books to read. And I knew there was 50% chance that I was wrong. But anyway, the next morning I found out that I was indeed wrong. And the school leader wasn't happy. And in front of all the students, she criticised me. I felt humiliated, rejected, crushed. And it was like an arrow went into my heart and was embedded there. I was very upset, and I remained upset for a while. Certainly, probably at least a week. I, can't really remember again. It was so long ago. But eventually I realised I had to forgive her. And so I did, because I knew that God says we must forgive. And so I did forgive her. But the illustration I think of is two children fighting. And their parent comes along and says, "Stop squabbling, forgive each other." And they said, okay, I forgive. But you know their heart's not in it. And I was a bit like that. I forgave because I know God said I must, but my heart wasn't really in it. But I guess forgiveness also always starts with a choice. And certainly, even though I'd chosen to forgive, those negative emotions and the negative thoughts kept coming up and up. And eventually the Lord reminded me of a verse in Matthew chapter 18. And this is where Peter asks Jesus, "How many times must I forgive? Seven times?" And Jesus says, "No, 70 times seven." And so I felt Jesus was saying, well, you know, each time those negative thoughts come up or those negative emotions, you need to speak out forgiveness. So even though it's the same thing, you need to keep forgiving, even if it's 70 times seven. But the other thing that the Lord told me was to pray for her. And not just to pray that God would change her, but to pray blessings on her. And to bless is to speak well of. And so that's what I did. And as I prayed for her and blessed her, it helped me to see her from a different perspective. Not just from the negative words that she'd spoken to me, but to help to see her as a whole person and the good that she was doing. She was a great teacher. She was making a lot of impact for the kingdom of God. And I had learned a lot from her as well. So as I prayed for her and blessed her, God helped that forgiveness that I'd spoken out get from a head level down to a heart level. And in Matthew chapter 7, God does say, "Forgive your brother." Sorry, Matthew chapter 18. God says, "Forgive your brother or sister from your heart." And God is concerned about our heart above all else. We're told to guard our hearts, for out of the heart flows the springs of life. And certainly, if we've let, you know, resentment and bitterness and anger into our hearts, we need to, you know, give those feelings to Jesus and to seek to get rid of those. A number of years later, God brought us back together and we were able to work together again on another Bible school. So that's my example of forgiveness and how, for me, it was a process, particularly getting that forgiveness from a head level to a heart level. But I also want to share with you a testimony from the life of Corrie Ten Boom. Now, Corrie was born into a Christian family in the Netherlands, or Holland. And during World War II, the Nazis, the Germans, took over their country, and of course they persecuted the Jews. Now, Corrie Ten Boom's family, they were involved in hiding Jews in their home, and were part of a network that helped to smuggle those Jews out of the country to safety. And it's actually estimated that something like 800 Jews passed through their home. They had secret hiding places in their building or secret rooms, false walls. And so they were able to do that. And Corrie actually has written a book called The Hiding Place about that. At the beginning of 1944... an informant gave up their secret and the family and others in the house were arrested. About a week later, Corrie's father died in prison and her sister Betsy were sent to Ravensbrück concentration camp, a women's labour camp in Germany. Now, conditions there were very cruel and harsh. At the end of that year, the end of 1944, Betsy passed away. Shortly after, Corrie was released, which was a miracle. She found out later that it was due to a clerical error, and about a week after she was released, all the women of her age group were sent to the gas chambers. After she was released, she developed a speaking ministry, sharing about the love, the forgiveness and salvation through Jesus. And she ended up going to about 60 countries over a period of 30 years. In 1947, she actually went back to Germany, to a city called Munich, and was sharing at a church where she was challenged to forgive one of her former guards. And the main message she was talking about that evening was of forgiveness. And she used one of her favourite mental pictures. She said, if we confess our sins, God casts them into the ocean, gone forever. When she finished her talk, people started to file out. But there was one man who started coming towards her, and she recognised him as one of her former guards. In a moment, she saw him in the blue uniform and the visored cap with the skull and crossbones. And in her mind, she was taken back to a huge room with harsh lights, piles of clothes and shoes in the middle, and the shame of having to walk naked past this man. But then he was in front of her, hand held out, and he said, a fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know, as you say, that our sins are at the bottom of the sea. Now, Corrie said she didn't want to take his hand. She fumbled in her notebook. It was the first time she'd come face to face with one of her former captors, and it seemed, she said, as if her blood froze. But then he said, you mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk. I was a guard there, but since that time I've become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Mm-hmm. Fräulein, and again the hand came out, will you forgive me? And Corrie says, I stood there. It could not have been many seconds, but to me it seemed like hours as I wrestled with the hardest thing I had ever had to do. For I had to do it, I knew that. The message that God forgives has a prior condition, that we forgive those who have injured us. Jesus said, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. She went on, I knew it not only as a command of God, but as a daily experience. Since the end of the war, I'd had a home in Holland for victims of Nazi brutality. Those who were able to forgive their former enemies were able to return to the outside world and rebuild their lives, no matter what the physical scars. Those who nursed their bitterness remained invalids. It was as simple and as horrible as that. And still I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will. And the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, she prayed silently. I can lift my hand, I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joined hands. And then his healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried, with all my heart. For a long moment, we grasped each other's hands, the former guard and the former prisoner. I had never known God's love so intensely as I did then. You'd think having forgiven that guard, Corrie wouldn't have any problems later on forgiving others. But she went on to tell about another time that some Christian friends who she loved and trusted had hurt her deeply. And she says, for weeks I seethed inside, but at last I ask God again to work his miracle in me. And again it happened. First the cold-blooded decision, then the flood of joy and peace. I'd forgiven my friends. I was restored to the Father. However, for about 2 weeks after that, she says how she would wake in the middle of the night, rehashing over the whole affair again and again. She continued to ask God to help her forgive. After 2 weeks of restless sleeps, she confessed her failure to a pastor who shared with her what I'll call the ding-dong principle. I know in my church growing up, we had a tall wooden structure with a bell at the top, and someone would ring the bell to announce that the service would start. You ring it, ding-dong, ding-dong, you let go, and it'd still do some more dings, dongs, slowing down, ding, dong, and finally stop. And the pastor said to Corrie, I believe the same thing is true of forgiveness. When we forgive someone, we take our hand off the rope. But if we've been tugging at our grievances for a long time, we mustn't be surprised if the old angry thoughts and feelings keep coming for a while. They're just the dings and the dongs of the bell slowing down. And she said so it proved to be. There are a few more midnight reverberations, a couple of dings when the subject came up in conversation, but the force had gone out of them. They came less and less often and at last stopped altogether. This night, this next slide is a quote by Corrie ten Boom. She says, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover the prisoner was you. I've got two more short testimonies. The next one is from Richard Wurmbrandt. I've started reading this book that he wrote, Tortured for Christ. He was a pastor in Romania under a communist anti-Christian government, and he was imprisoned for 14 years for his faith. And during that time, he was tortured horribly. And of course, there are lots of other Christians as well who were imprisoned with him. He said, God poured his love into our hearts, and we were able to forgive and show the love of Christ to the communists. He said, I prayed for those who tormented us and loved them with all my heart. And they not only prayed, they actually shared the gospel as well with their jailers, and many did come to Christ. And I just want to read a small story in the introduction to his book. This is written by Dale, one of the person who pioneered Operation Mobilisation. And he said, we visited the Wurmbrandts several times while they were in Romania. But my favourite story is this one. During one visit, I was with them in their home as they were talking in Romanian. I did not understand one word of Romanian, but I could tell they were talking about a person. Who is this person you are talking about? I asked. This is the man who betrayed Richard, and because of him, Richard was put in prison, replied his wife, Sabina. Some hours later, Richard said, Dale, let's take a walk. As we were walking, a man crossed the street and came over to us. In Romanian style, Pastor Wurmbrandt and this man hugged and kissed, and then he introduced us. The man left, and Richard and I resumed our walk. That is interesting, I said to Pastor Wurmbrandt. That man has the same name as the man who betrayed you. Without blinking an eye, he said, Dale, we all make mistakes. That was how he was able to dismiss that man's betrayal. I thought that if anyone had injured me at all, I needed only to compare that with what Richard went through and I should be able to forgive pretty easily. This verse, Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, "Love your enemies, pray for those who persecuted." Richard Wurmbrandt certainly was one who did that. We could also say, love those who have hurt you. Pray for those who have done wrong to you. It certainly is very relevant in the forgiveness process. One last testimony I wanted to share is from Reverend Tom Jewett. Now, he is Australian, an Anglican minister, or he was. He worked in King's Cross in Sydney as director of Teen Challenge for 3 years, and he also, or 4 years, and he also directed the London Healing Mission for a few years as well, before starting Isaiah 61 Ministries, about binding up the broken-hearted and setting the captives free. A little bit similar to Freedom Life Ministry in some ways, but he saw a lot of physical healings as he helped people deal with inner issues. And this testimony took place when he was working with the London Healing Mission. There was an elderly lady who used to regularly attend the mission, and she had a housekeeper who had very bad arthritis. And the arthritis got so bad that she had to resign. She couldn't continue to work as a housekeeper. Now, the elderly lady really liked having this particular housekeeper, and so she brought her along to one of the healing meetings. She was an immigrant. She didn't have very good English, but she did have a faith in Jesus. After the message, she came forward and knelt at the communion rail. She was weeping because of the great pain that she was in. And Tom knelt with her and explained quietly that Jesus said that we must have forgiven all others from our hearts before we ask for healing. And that's in Matthew actually 11. She had no knowledge of this, but she accepted it. And Tom said, "I led her in the prayer of forgiving all others. After asking the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus to help her remember all those folks that he thought she needed to forgive. When it came to saying their names," he said, "I thought that she would never come to the end of them. There were so many." When she said the last name, she jumped up and down, waving her hands in the air, and declared that she was healed and the pain was gone. So I'm not saying all arthritis is because of unforgiveness, but certainly unforgiveness can manifest itself in physical ways. And certainly secular research has shown that unforgiveness affects our mental, emotional and physical health. And David in the Psalms declared that as well. In Psalms 32, he said, "While I was silent," that is before he confessed his sins, he says, "my bones wasted away and my strength died up." So it's actually interesting. Tom didn't actually even get to pray for healing. As soon as she had forgiven, she was healed. So I think that's a great testimony, isn't it? The power of forgiveness. And I just want to finish with a little slide to summarise some of the things we've been saying. On the left is some of the things that forgiveness is. Now, if you can't read it, I'm going to read it out anyway. Forgiveness is a process of healing. It's our choice. It's a gift to ourselves. It's an opportunity to learn and grow. It's an act of compassion and empathy towards the other person. In other words, it's a gift to them as well. Forgiveness is not saying what happened is okay. It's not saying, this one's not up there, it's not saying the pain has gone. It's not a sign of weakness. It's not forgetting. Forgiving is an active thing, whereas forgetting is more passive. It's not about the other person changing. Forgiveness is something we do for ourselves, for our freedom, first and foremost. And it's not allowing control by the past. When we choose to forgive, we set ourselves free from the past. And I'll just remind you too about those two Greek words that I mentioned at the beginning. The first one, yeah, you don't need to remember the words at all, but it's important what they mean. Aphemi means to release or to let go. To release or to let go. And the charizomai is based on that word, which means grace, which means free and unconditional forgiveness, no strings attached. One last quote. When a deep injury is done to us, we never recover until we forgive. So I might just finish with a prayer. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you do forgive us freely and unconditionally, and that we are able to do that for others. Lord, I just pray if there is any unforgiveness in our lives, that you, through your Holy Spirit, would reveal that to us and help us to work through that process of forgiveness. We just pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.